Welcome to HR Sessions. My name is Holly Reeser.
And I'm Sydney Evans.
And we are so excited to have Rich Flory here with us today. A little bit about him. He has held a variety of positions in human resources, operations, and some leadership positions, which totals to about 15 years of experience. So we're so excited to have him here today. And a little bit more about him as well. He holds a bachelor's degree in human resource development, and he's also a part of the Society of HR Management Senior Certified Professional. So that is SHRM for everyone that we have mentioned on every single episode. So we are so excited to have that connection here today. And just a reminder again about our LinkedIn, go ahead and check out HR Sessions. We have a separate page to post all of our episodes and some more resources regarding HR topics. So go ahead and check that out. And Rich, we're so excited to have you here today.
Thanks so much for inviting me to come on, guys. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for being here. So to start off our questions, like in our last podcast, we're doing a fun question. And a little bit about Rich. He loves all things Bloomington. So during like quarantine, he had like a Bloomington podcast. So we thought our fun question would be along the lines of that. So Rich, what is your favorite Bloomington restaurant and why?
Gosh, so I have to have two. Is that okay?
I guess.
So my whenever I think about that question, my immediate go-to is Michael's Uptown Cafe. As far as why, it is super solid and always consistent. I've never had a bad breakfast, lunch, or dinner there. So that's one. Two, for those of you who are 21, the bar side of Michael's Uptown Cafe is also just really great. It does a really good job of straddling between like feeling like you're at an upscale uptown restaurant, but it has a really good relaxed vibe. So for me, it's really good food. It's consistent. It's got a good vibe, and I don't know. I really like it. So that's one. Now the second is not really a restaurant, but if you listen to my podcast, even like two episodes, you would hear me talk about In Bloom. And I just have to keep giving them love. So they are a juicery in town, and they have these things called smoothie bowls. I don't know if you guys have ever had a smoothie bowl, but check out In Bloom Juicery. I'm all about giving them love. They are just really good people, really good food, and once again, super consistent. And, you know, it's really tasty, but you feel like you're being healthy, and it's always super fresh. And so those are my two for sure.
Oh, I love the acai bowls in Bloom. So good.
There you go. All right. Another fan.
Yes. And before Sydney and I answer that as well, where can we find your podcast? I'm curious.
You know what? I actually did it on Anchor, believe it or not. We're recording here. So yeah, it's out there. It was called B-Town, or is. I haven't done any episodes for quite a while, but it was called B-Town and then et cetera, just ETC period. And so it's still out there. Like I said, it's been dormant for a minute, but go out and listen. I think it still holds up. And yeah, like Sydney said, I was, you know, just looking for a, you know, creative outlet, you know, just something to do while we were, especially during like the true lockdown portion of quarantine. And I actually stumbled across Anchor, and I was like, why don't I do a podcast? I listen to a lot of them. So
that was us.
yeah, exactly. So it's out there, B-Town, et cetera. And it's fun. You know, I feel like, I'm not saying I am cool in any way, but I know a lot of cool people, and they showed up and showed out and came on, and we talked sports and talked music and a bunch of different stuff. So yeah, go check it out. I had a lot of fun doing it. It was, and you know, like if seven people listened to it, that was great. If one person listened to it, it was fine too. It was just something fun to kind of, get the creative juices flowing, you know.
That is so relatable. We were literally talking before this. We're like, you know, we have our 10 like great followers that always listen to our podcast. Four of them are my family members, but you know what? Like, it's so fun to record the podcast. So very, very relatable to yours.
With you.
Yeah. Holly, do you want to go ahead and answer?
Yeah, so it's so hard because I feel like Bloomington has literally the best restaurants, and there are some of the places that you can't find otherwise. So This is hard. Buffaloes is always always a safe option, and I don't know. I'll go ahead and say Village Deli. I know that's for breakfast, but I love it. What about you, Sydney?
Okay, I love Village Deli too. I feel like everyone likes Runcible Spoon better, but I think Village Deli is so much better. But that's one of my favorites. I think I'm going to be basic and have to say Mother Bear's. Like, I love pizza. That's like my number one go-to. Actually, today, the day we're recording it, September. Oh my gosh, I saw the 9. February 9th is National Pizza Day. So maybe everyone should get some Mother Bear's. But yeah. That's for sure my favorite one. I think it definitely beats out the other pizza restaurants.
Yes.
There's no okay. So a couple of things I'm going to interject yes, and ask please. Me, but yeah. But first of all, Mother Bear's is very very good. Mm-hmm. Pizza X also very very mm-hmm. good. Different type styles and things, but mm-hmm. So that's one. Two is a little inside kind of fun thing about Ooh. Buffaloes is Ed Schwartzman is the owner of Buffaloes, and he actually coached my son Max. He coached his like 5 and 6 year old, or maybe it was 6 and 7 year old basketball team this year. The guy is a saint. I mean, he is a good guy, and I mean, I always loved his restaurant. I would see him in there, and he's a real character. Mm-hmm. But man, after seeing him coach a bunch of like kids who aren't dribbling and running the wrong way down the court, the guy's a saint, and it was gosh. Really fun to get to know him a little bit more. So little plug for Buffaloes and Ed Schwartzman as well.
Yeah, I think that takes a special type of person to coach kids and stuff. I think I'm going to Buffaloes this Friday, so I will feel very good about spending my money there. So
absolutely
love that.
Absolutely,
that's so fun. Yeah, no, I literally could just go into a debate over restaurants in Bloomington. So that's so fun. But I can go ahead and start us off into the first question, even though I could talk about Bloomington forever. So, Rich, last year you went from being an HR business partner at IU within the College of Arts and Sciences to an HR business partner at Cook Medical. So can you kind of walk us through the differences that you found between working in like the higher education and then now in the private sector, and like kind of how that transition was?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you check out my LinkedIn profile, you know, I was in the private sector for quite a while. Then I actually went to the public sector, and now I'm back in the private sector. So, yeah, you know, it was very so there's a few differences. So when it comes to the actual, you know, work itself, you know, actually being a business partner at IU versus being a business partner at Cook, the work, like the core responsibilities, you know, the deliverables, if you will, are very, very similar. The big difference in my new role is I actually have, I'm really excited about it. I have responsibility for supporting HR for the Western and Central part of the US. So it's basically like California all the way up and down, and then all the way over to Indiana. And then I have this other tremendous colleague. I mean, she's just amazing. She has the other half of the country. So we like split it, but we work as a team, and there's plenty of projects and conversations and things that encompass the whole division that I work for. But that's actually the biggest difference, like the work, you know, the HR, you know, not issues per se, but just, you know, the HR things, if you will, that come up are really, really similar. As far as like the industry differences, like, you know, public sector versus private sector, you know, public sector, you know, is usually super duper, you know, mission driven, right? Like at the end of the day, especially with higher education, it's all about academic mission. Like everything you do, how does this tie back to the academic mission? And then, you know, another thing for better or worse, I think mostly for better, you know, IU, for instance, has been around for literally, you know, just celebrated its bicentennial, you know, 200 years, right? You flip over to a company like Cook, I am really, really lucky, and I can sell Cook all day long, because the truth of the matter is, it's also, for a private sector company, extremely mission and values-driven organization. A lot of people don't even realize it, but it's actually still owned by the Cook family. And that was actually a big draw for me, because at the end of the day, it's still, for being an extremely innovative, you know, large, global, leader, it's still family owned and based out of Bloomington. And so leaving something that's super duper mission driven and things like that, I was really bought into that whole concept of working for an organization that was all about the mission and the people. And I found Cook, and, I was ready for my move, and there's more, opportunity afforded to me by operating on a larger, geography. But there's some familiarity with the feel of the work, as far as being an HR business partner. It's not to say every HR business partner is the same, but the core responsibilities are very similar. But to find an organization like Cook, where it's still about the mission, it's still about the vision, it's still about, deliverables and things like that, that was actually a big draw for me. So I would say the biggest difference is just, public sector, especially an organization like IU, where I was going a minute ago, is, it's been around for literally now 201 years, right? And Cook is a very established, well-known, some would say, been around for a long time, and it's only, a little over 50. So it's, wow. There's actually quite a bit of relatability there, mostly for the good. And I loved being at IU. I wasn't really even super on the market, but this position became available. I had met who's now one of my former colleagues a couple of years ago. We reconnected and boom, here I am. So hopefully that answers the question, but there's a lot of similarities. And like I say, both organizations are great.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. I mean, first off, a belated congratulations. It seems like you're really, enjoying your job here. So that's fantastic. But going back you're welcome. Going back to I guess you said, Cook is really a mission driven, organization. I feel like there's misconception that in the private sector, you can't, they're not mission driven. Like you have to be part of a nonprofit or higher education. I feel like sometimes even being in O'Neill and not really focused, they don't focus on the private sector as much, that's not what the school is for. They make it seem like you can't find, organizations like this. So I'm glad that, Cook Medical is like that, because, I'm looking for a job now, and that's the values is, the first thing I look at, the mission, the vision, everything like that. So I just love that you're able to find an organization like that.
Yeah, thanks. And just to sort of tag on to that, at the end of the day, Cook does want to, perform well and things like that, like other private sector organizations, but that's not the stuff that we talk about the most. I'm part of, several different projects that are focusing on how to be better, how to do better, how to be more efficient, how to communicate better. So it's not that other, private sector stuff isn't there. It's just that's not the complete focal point. And, when you talk to, I've had the pleasure of really getting involved in recruiting early, in my time at Cook, which is actually a really great way. If you ever have a chance to join an organization in an HR role, to just jump right into recruiting is a really great way to learn about not only the organization from the inside out, but also from the outside in. How are these candidates, what do they know about your company? And it's been really neat, talking to candidates from California and St. Louis, and, in between and everywhere, that say, I've known Cook for a long time, and I know, have a patient first strategy, and I've read your values, and things like that. And I'm like, this is great. So, I knew Cook was a very reputable organization, and to actually sort of get the inside out is one thing, but to actually hear from others the perception of the company that you joined is just really reaffirming. It makes you feel really good. Like, yeah, we are about that. Absolutely. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a lot of praise coming in, feels good. And another thing too, with with finding this, private sector organization that, I'll say it leads for the greater good, O'Neill's motto. Sometimes companies, one thing to look out is to see if they're, genuine in everything they're doing. For example, and Holly was there with me, she'll think this is funny. We were at a hiring event, and basically they said, we have all these sustainability practices, but we just do it because it's good for business. We don't really care. They straight up said that. Yeah. Yes. And Holly and I look at each other. We're like, what did he just say? Obviously it's good for business. There's a strategy to it, but at the end of the day, you want the company to be genuine in what they're doing, and actually want to help out the environment and, you know, want what's best for their employees. So I just thought of that. I thought Holly would enjoy it.
Yeah, you want that to be a result, not the reason for doing something.
Yeah, for sure. So that's kind of something to look for, I guess, or, you know, when you're having those conversations. Because when Holly and I heard it, we're like, yeah, we're not about this internship anymore.
Yeah.
So that was bad there. But moving on, so you mentioned you literally are covering like half the country. You said the Western and Central United States, which blows my mind. Like that's crazy to me, you know, half the country you're like in charge of all that stuff. But even looking at like your LinkedIn, you know, you're working on, you know, recruiting, sourcing strategies, recruiting ideas, employee relations, performance management, diverse inclusion. Like I could go on and on. There's like a million things that HR business partners do. So that being said, like, how do you prioritize, I guess, all the work? Like, you know, how do you pick like what's more important or what to work on? How do you manage your time? I feel like that's something that I feel like can be super overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. I can answer that with a few different answers. Well, I guess we'll call it one big answer. So one thing that I have found in HR and has served me really well is, and this is probably a little bit campy, but you have to be ultra flexible. I mean, you just have to be ultra flexible. So the way that you accommodate that to still make sure, you know, you're tackling your priorities is you have to prioritize and then you have to continually reprioritize. So you go into your day or you look at your next day and say, here's what I would like to get done and here's what I have to get done, right? And inevitably, most days we'll say 4 out of 5, something is going to get in the way of those things that you hope to get done. And they're going to get the boot. They're going to get bumped. You maybe have to hop back online a little later or they get moved to the next day. But it's really important that, you know, the priorities that you set, unless there's something really trumping them or really that should really, you know, knock them aside, that you keep those intact, because there's always in HR, there's always things flying your way, right? I mean, there's always a need, a question, or what have you, and you should be available. You should answer the phone. I mean, I found, you know, one of the first things with HR, if I could, you know, leave you with one thing, is to just be responsive. If someone is reaching out to HR, it's because they need you. They have a question. They have a need. Is it urgent? Doesn't matter. They're reaching out to you for a reason. They're your point of contact. So that's always going to happen, and that's a good thing. You want employees and managers and leaders to be reaching out and asking you things. But in terms of, you know, keeping things balanced, you have to keep these are my must do's and these are my, I would like to do's. And hey, if you have a day where you're, you know, the things coming up are somewhat limited and you can get your want to do's and your must do's done, awesome. But it's very likely that something's going to come up and you're going to need to rearrange again, prioritize, reprioritize. So that's step number one, is just continually looking at your day, looking at your afternoon, looking at your week, and saying, "All right, what has to get done?" And also being very understanding and patient to know that something might pop up, or maybe even better yet, will pop up that's going to influence how your day and your week actually goes. And that's actually for me a really thrilling part of HR, is that it's almost like a little exciting, right? Like what's going to come up, and most of the time it's good stuff. I've gotten involved in some really exciting stuff at Cook. And as stuff pops up with that, it's exciting, right? But I have these other core responsibilities that I also have to tend to, like you said, like recruiting in the West or recruiting for the Central region. So the other thing too, I would say, and this is really, I've been really impressed by this. I think the organization also sort of tells you what is important. So you had mentioned, for instance, diversity and inclusion. And I can tell you at Cook, that is a constant topic of conversation. And it's not only diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's something that is a priority for the organization. It's a priority for the division that I specifically work for. And so if something were to come up with that, and I have this like, you know, administrative task, I know that the organization wants me to go after that and maybe, you know, push the administrative task to later because the organization has said that DEI is a priority for us. So you also need to be really in tune with the organization to say, all right, where does the organization really want spending my time? Is it getting a posting up or is it hopping on this diversity call? Is it this or is it that? So you also need to be in tune with the organization. And once again, I have to give kudos to HR at Cook. They're the HR group across the organization is very in tune with the organization, has a seat at the table. So it makes it easier when you know what the organization wants and where they want you to be spending your time, how that should inform your priorities. I hope that makes sense. It was a little long-winded.
No. That was great. And it's awesome to kind of hear, you know, your day-to-day and the responsibilities you have and really what all entails in your role. But a question that I had, this is a little off the script, but I just kind of want to quickly ask this. So I just realized for any students that are potentially listening, Rich, could you potentially kind of answer maybe like a sentence or two and kind of define really what like a business partner is? Because I know when I was a student and I was looking at the roles that I wanted to apply to, let's say there was like a HR generalist or, you know, HR manager, it's like trying to figure out your, like where you want to go in your path. How can you set yourself up kind of to be like a business partner? And how is that different kind of than maybe like an HR manager or like a generalist? What would be the qualities? I kind of just asked a bunch of different things, but basically just what really does a business partner mean?
Yeah. I'd be happy to field that. So my internal title, like, you know, my title of record is actually HR generalist, but we generalists at Cook operate as HR BPs. And when I applied, it was an HR BP role. And so that's ultimately how we operate and what we do. So the way I would describe an HR business partner, you know, is it drastically different, you know, than an HR manager or an HR generalist? No, I wouldn't say that it has to be drastically different, but typically, you know, when an organization says, this is an HR BP role, you know, we want you to operate as an HR BP. This posting says HR BP, you're referred to as an HR BP. What it's ultimately saying, and I can kind of hit this from a couple of different angles. Ultimately, what you're doing is from a human capital, HR planning, HR strategy standpoint, you're basically taking the business and aligning it with the people side of the company. And so what that could mean is it could be recruitment. It could be, you know, posting strategies. It could be, you know, candidate pipelines. It could be, you know, where we're putting resources. It could be analyzing turnover and things like that. So it's really a newer concept and new, I can't say how long, we'll say five-ish years, five plus 6 years, where the idea is that the more aligned an HR management type of position is with the business side of an organization, the more helpful they can be and the more impact that they can really have. So as far as how can you, you know, set yourself up, you know, to be an HR business partner, ultimately what I would say it is, whether it's before you join an organization or it's after you join an organization, have an interest in what the business is doing and what the business is striving for, because what that will ultimately help you do is inform, again, how you spend your time, you know, how you line up your work, how you align, you know, where's their priority? Is there growth in this particular region? Well, I know that because I'm aligned with the business strategy. So when it comes to prioritizing my work, I need to spend more time over here. So it's a long-winded way to say it's a new approach, less so a title, really more of a new approach to HR and aligning the work that we do in direct alignment with the business and having a seat at the table when it comes to planning and strategy and things like that. Because as we all know, you know, the biggest cost that almost any business has is your human capital. So you want, you know, your HR folks. I mean, there's still other HR work that's really, really critical, right? Like benefits and, you know, actually running a department. But when it comes to, you know, someone in a role like mine, the better that we can be informed on calls and conversations, emails, what have you, where we can better understand what the business is doing and what it needs, the better we can, you know, help deliver that on the people side.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that was explained perfectly because I really like the part that you touched on. I think we actually touched on this on a couple episodes on our podcast, but there's just more strategy to HR now. And it's so fun to see it kind of evolve and Cindy and I kind of diving into HR during this time. So, no, I'm really glad that we touched on that and kind of define what a business partner looks like. So I appreciate that. But kind of turning gears a little bit, as kind of focusing on Cook Medical specifically, how has the pandemic affected? And then has there been an increase in hiring, or what does that look like?
That's a good question. So I'm in an interesting, so, you know, Sydney sent me the outline before and I saw this question and I really thought about how I wanted to answer it. So, you know, the pandemic hit, you know, when I was still an HRBP at IU, right? So I'm at IU, there's no pandemic. I'm at IU, the pandemic hits, and I was still at IU for about, I guess, 7 months into the pandemic, or maybe eight, I guess it was, and then, you know, transitioned to Cook. So I know the pandemic is not over. It's far from over. Still a lot of, you know, treatment and you know, vaccinations and everything that we know going on with it. But it was actually really interesting to join an organization as it was sort of coming out on the other side. And so, you know, as far as how it's affected Cook, you know, Cook has come out on the other side very good. I mean, to be honest with you, at least from like me saying that from an employee standpoint, you know, employees intact, you know, business still moving forward. And so it was really interesting to, you know, a lot, oh, you know, you're changing jobs right now. And I'm like, I actually feel really good about it. So it was really neat to, you know, join an organization post pandemic. What I can tell you is, of course, you know, as with most organization, I mean, universities, IU being one of them, plenty of, you know, private sector, publicly traded organizations, a lot of Cook's, you know, previous in-office workforce is now working from home, you know, so that's been a big thing. But Cook's so strategic that, you know, some of that space has actually been repurposed to, you know, do things like, you know, manufacture or, you know, kind of repurpose the space that the organization did have. So, Cook is hiring. If you go out to our careers page, you know, you'll see that. Yeah, there's a lot of open positions and a lot of opportunities, quite frankly, all over the country and even some globally. Large focus right now, you know, in our particular division, we hire clinical staff, we hire district sales managers. Here in Bloomington, there are other positions that are more function-based. So those would be like, you know, regulatory or HR like me, or maybe there's also some that are more manual type of positions that are really critical to Cook's mission, like assembler positions. So yeah, I mean, Cook is still here and came out on the other side. And as far as hiring goes, doing plenty of that. In fact, like I said earlier in the podcast, that's where we're spending quite a bit of our time while also still, again, tending to, you know, some of these other bigger projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I say that's great. I was just curious just cause I'd seen like, you know, either our, you know, healthcare organizations or, you know, pharmaceutical organizations just, I mean, it's like bad to say, I guess, but like the pandemic has helped them out. It has created more jobs. There has been a bigger need for this. So yeah, like you said, like at the end, like it did work out that way. So yeah, I was just curious. And we can make sure to link the careers page for Cook if anyone was just curious about checking that out or, I don't know, had any referrals for any positions there, but
yeah, please.
Moving
and into, the other thing I was going to say is, what was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought. I guess you can cut this part out, but I was going to say, I'm so sorry. It was regarding careers, hiring. Oh, so I'll pick it up right here. So another thing that, the pandemic and I think other organizations have taken advantage of this and from newer stint with Cook is to take a look at, you know, business processes and things like that. And that includes, you know, all right, you know, can these positions work remotely and things like that. And a lot of organizations are finding out, yeah, maybe it even increases engagement, but it also, you know, you have to think about, okay, well, how can we still build connectivity with our employees and things like that. So that's another thing that certainly is, you know, the pandemic has been, you know, horrible, a global pandemic is never a good thing. But as far as a silver lining goes, I think for a lot of businesses is to, you know, take a minute and look at, you know, sort of how you're doing things. And I've read a lot, I've seen a lot that, you know, even post-pandemic, you know, fast forward 5 years from now, a lot of the ways that we've adapted, you know, how we do things and how we're working, it might be how we do things for at least the foreseeable future. So, I think that's allowed businesses and Cook certainly, you know, not being exempt from that, to take a look at how we work and what we do and figuring out, you know, how to do things more efficiently and better and remotely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. It's interesting how the workplace and like HR and everything has really changed. It's kind of bad that it took a pandemic for like people to be able to work remotely, you know. But you know, like you said, silver lining, at least now in the future, that is definitely a possibility. But moving into our last topic. So I signed up for the student Indie Sherm conference, and I noticed that you're one of the breakout session leaders. So super excited to, you know, see you speak there. But I was just curious if you, you know, if you have aspirations to like be a public speaker within HR. And if so, like, how did you get started? Because I know you like spoke at HRA once, and then now you're doing this. So is it like something you want to do in the future?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I appreciate you asking me that. So I, you know, at one point, I, you know, was not in HR, and I was really excited about HR. And then I got into HR, and honestly, my excitement has not really waned at all. I'm still very excited about HR. So I enjoy public speaking. So that's kind of, so first thing is being excited about HR. The second thing is, I actually really enjoy public speaking. I'm extroverted, you know, from the standpoint of I just really love engaging with people. And in fact, when it comes to HR, that's, you know, one of my favorite things. You know, the work itself, I absolutely love. But if there's one thing I love about HR, it's that human aspect and, you know, human connectivity and just people and what makes them tick and what they're about and what music they're listening to, you know, whatever. So, and then the third piece of the equation is at IU, I had the good fortune of being asked, you know, at the College of Arts and Sciences, they have a career services office called the Walter Center for Career Achievement. And occasionally I would get invited in to either specifically talk about careers in HR. I also, like you had mentioned, talk to HRA, which I really enjoyed. But the other thing that I did at the Walter Center on several occasions, and actually I believe I'll be back there, I think it's in March, I got invited back even after I had told them, hey, call me anytime, I love this, is sort of just demystifying, you know, what happens when you interview and what are some tips and things like that. So I'm happy to offer that insight. Again, I love public speaking, and anytime I have an opportunity to connect, talk about HR, talk about, you know, what it is we do and demystify anything, you know, about the field or, you know, interviewing process, whatever it is, if my schedule allows it, there's a very good chance I'm going to say yes. So as far as, you know, future aspirations for being a public speaker, I you know, not necessarily. I want to be an HR professional because it's what I do. It's what I love. But when I get an opportunity that, you know, is, you know, available and in front of me, I'm, you know, probably going to take advantage of it if I can, just because I also, you know, there's a certain, you know, give back aspect too. You know, if I, at again, one point I wasn't in HR and I was really excited about it. And so if, you know, I can, you know, get others excited about it or answer any questions, you know, for those who are interested in the field or whatever it might be, I'm really more than happy to do it. So yeah, I, actually came across a post where they were doing a call out for speakers. And I said, hey, I'd be happy to do it. They asked me for a topic, which I had given some real thought to before I responded. And I know we're going to talk about that next, but that's when I came up with what I thought might be, you know, might be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, a couple things that I think is awesome. You, along with other guests that we have on the podcast, it's so inspiring to hear that that our guests are involved with so many things outside of work. Like, I know that we have some people writing books or, you know, speaking at events like you are. And it's just so cool to see that just things in HR and your every day to day can kind of translate into those things. And like you said, bring that knowledge to the things that you speak at. So I think that that's awesome. And also one thing that you touched on about giving back, I really think the HR community, we've seen this time and time through again, but I feel like the HR professionals out there are just so willing to give back. And I feel like this HR community, is just so willing to help out with anyone who needs help.
Yeah.
It's awesome because you're just another person to kind of test to that. So I think that's so cool.
Yeah. Bloomington has a really, really good HR community, and to be affiliated with it or part of it is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, make sure to go check that out at Indie Sherm.
Oh, awesome.
But you know, as we are kind of transitioning here into the last question, I know you had mentioned talking about interview tips, but could you give us just a couple tips or more of a sneak peek into your topic of interview tips for remote or virtual workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm still putting the touches on it, but ultimately what mm-hmm. I really want to talk about, you know, there's interviewing tips and there's interviewing best practices, right? And there's even before you get the interview, right, you know, there's networking and things like that. So what I wanted to present you know, to that group was really sort of really specific insight for, you know, how you can best set yourself up for success when it comes to something like a recorded you know, video interview, or it comes to, you know, a Zoom interview or a WebEx interview, or maybe it's a phone screen. So, you know, virtual doesn't necessarily mean a video conference. It could also mean an email questionnaire. You know, in previous positions, you know, one way that I would screen candidates would be to deploy email questionnaires. And, you know, you can tell a difference between someone who is enthusiastic and interested and excited about a job versus someone who's not. So what I wanted to try to put something together on was something really, you know, easy to digest and easy to take in, that is just some like basic concepts about how you can sort of set yourself maybe apart, or at least set yourself up for success when it comes to interviewing in a virtual environment, whether that's email questionnaires, phone screens, conference calls, WebExes, Zooms, whatever it might be. You know, what are some things, you know, from my experience, you know, that could help you out a little bit, and just make it mostly conversational. I mean, certainly it will be a presentation, and I'm going to record it, and then I'll be there to field questions. But I think this is just a completely different angle. I feel like you almost have to throw out the whole previous playbook, you know, come in and, you know, shake hands and all of that. And all of that is out the window. So it's like, we have to write a completely new playbook for, you know, if we're going to give somebody interview tips, we have to basically completely throw out the old one and come up with a new set to say, here's the things that we're looking for. And so, if I can at least do that with, a group around here, I would love that opportunity. So I thought that would be the most applicable, because that, as I was leaving IU, even now, you know, that's a hot topic. You know, should we do this over interview? You know, should we do this over the phone? Should we do this over video conferencing? Or drumroll, please, should we do it in person? And so there's just a lot of different ways, you know, in 2021 and beyond, that, you know, you might get screened or you might get interviewed. And I think you need to be ready and not, I mean, certainly interviewing is nervous, but to not be too caught off guard. You know, you might get a call saying, you know, can I talk to you on the phone? You might get an invitation to go meet at a Panera, you know, socially distanced. You might be sent a Zoom invitation. You need to be ready and, you know, prepared to field those no matter how they come at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really excited to listen to your breakout session. And, you know, I encourage all the students listening to sign up as well. I mean, something that's cool that's this year that's different from last year, you know, is it's all online, it's on Zoom. So like, you know, you don't have to travel to, I think it's usually just an indie. Well, that makes sense. Indie Sherm somewhere an indie college. So you don't have to travel. If you can only stay for a couple of breakout sessions, go ahead and do that. Highly recommend Rich's. That will be very beneficial, not only, well, for me as like a student, it will be helpful just as I'm trying to get a full-time job, but also like for HR, like I want to be in a recruiting position, you know, So you can kind of think of it both ways. But yeah, that is all the time we have today. Rich, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun, especially in the beginning, talking about all things Bloomington. I can definitely see now how you're so passionate about it. I definitely have to check out those two restaurants. I've like heard of them, but I've never been to them.
I recommend them both again. And thanks so much for inviting me on, guys. It was really fun. And you know, if the HRA needs anything else, definitely let me know. Otherwise, I hope you'll share out the Cook Careers page and, you know, link to my LinkedIn. If anyone has any questions or anything like that, I'm easily accessible. I think Sydney will attest to that. I'll try to get back to you right away.
Yeah, yeah. You send him a message on LinkedIn, he will be right there ready to go. So definitely reach out to him. But yeah, again, thank you so much for your time.